Welcome to the Family Story Podcast, where we talk about family relationships, important family events, and most of all, family stories that can be passed on for generations to come. I'm your host, Rick Jensen, and I'm glad you joined us today. So sit back, listen, learn, and love as we talk about your family in this episode of the Family Story Podcast. Welcome to the Family Story Podcast. Today in our studio, we have Janelle Jensen, who just recently returned from the Taiwan Taipei mission. Janelle, it's good to have you here. Welcome home.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
I'm excited to podcast you today and listen to all of your stories and some of your experiences. So let's talk about your mission a little bit, because you went to two places and probably very different than one another. Go ahead and tell us about that experience of going to your first place.
Yeah, for sure. So my first place was Minnesota Minneapolis mission. So I received my reassignment while I was in the MTC. I knew that I wouldn't be going straight to Taiwan because the borders were closed at the time. So I was super excited to go to Minnesota. And I went in around January. And I had four transfers there. And so about 6 months in Minnesota.
So tell me how you felt while you were at the MTC. You learned all of this Chinese language. Mm-hmm. You were practicing all of this. And then all of a sudden you get called to English speaking. And you probably didn't have any chance to even practice your Chinese in Minnesota.
Yeah, I was a little bit upset about that, because I remember when I was in the MTC, I did not like speaking Chinese. I just didn't like it. It's so uncomfortable to have to speak another language. And that was really hard for me. It was really out of my comfort zone. And I would always pray for the desire. I was like, I need to want to learn this. And I got that desire as soon as I went to Minnesota and couldn't speak it anymore. And then I was like, what is this? I can't use Chinese, and now it's making me so sad. But I think it gave me the drive I needed to prepare me to go to Taiwan and have a desire to speak Chinese.
I'm going to ask you the differences of the two missions in just a moment, but I want to know what it was like to arrive in Taiwan, because, you know, here you are in Minnesota and you received your plans. How did you feel when you received those plans?
Oh, it was such a cool experience. I remember at the time I was with my companion sister Carter. We served in Eau Claire, and I had finally started to accept the idea that if I didn't go to Taiwan, that would be okay. I had finally started to accept that. And then a little bit after, I received an email saying that it didn't have flight plans or anything, but it said I would be coming in a few weeks. So it said some things to prepare. And I was like, wait, what? Because I wasn't expecting it at all. And then about a week or so later, I received a message from my mission president. And he said, we still don't have flight plans for you, but we want you out of here by next week. And he gave me a date.
Oh my goodness.
And that was really where I was like, oh my goodness, this is real. This is happening. I'm actually going. And then I think it was the next day or 2 days after that I received my flight plans. So definitely kind of an escalation of just excitement. I remember receiving my flight plans, and I remember everything I was doing in all those situations, because it was such a big deal to me. We're making chicken pillows. And I was no help to making the chicken pillows, because I was dancing around the room.
Tell me what it was like to actually go there and be there. How was that for you? What was that like for you?
Going to Taiwan, it just still felt so surreal, so fake. And we had been up pretty much all night because of the long flight. And we took a bus to our quarantine hotel. And I just remember looking outside and seeing so many trees and so many cities. And the sun had just barely come up. It was still like kind of foggy and like kind of a little bit smoky outside, smoky feel. And I just looked outside and was like, whoa, the whole thing felt like a dream. It was just such a cool experience.
Did you ever feel like, you know, they talk about the culture shock.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever feel the culture shock hit you?
I did.
Tell me about that.
I remember probably my most culture shocky moment was while I was still in quarantine, we could leave during the day, but had to return at night after a few days. And so me and Sister Curtin, who I was quarantined with, we went with two Native sisters, who I was actually companions with both of them later, but we went with two Native sisters to a place called Seamending and did an English challenge. And so English challenges is we have a board that has, it says English challenge on the front, and it has some questions on the back. So we'll go up to people and ask them if they want to participate, and if they do, we will ask them either an easy, medium, or hard question in English. If they're interested, we invite them to English group. It's as simple as that. So I remember we went, and it was at night, and Seamending was like, picture this, anime in the dark, flashing lights everywhere, blasting music, dancers in the square, and I walked in and just probably looked like a deer in headlights. I was like, whoa, this is a whole different world. And everything was so loud, we had to kind of yell at people for them to hear us. And I just remember being there, being so aware of how different I look from everyone, and that I didn't know what any of them were saying. And I was just like a little bit shook the whole time. I was like, whoa. But it was such a cool experience, and I'm so grateful for that memory. I think it was cool to have that feeling of just like, this is another planet, and I'm here now. I'm going to be serving and working here and loving it.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, the remark that you mentioned, you were aware of how different you looked than everyone there. How did that make you feel?
It kind of bothered me at times. Like at first, well, just because beforehand I figured, oh, I've got dark hair, I'll blend in. But being there, you realize how much you don't actually. So I remember that first night, I just felt out of place. I felt like an alien. And I got used to it as time went on, but, you know, you get a lot of stares. You get a lot of people staring at you, and, I mean, it's not their fault, but especially in the areas that don't have a lot of foreigners. Like, I was in Dudong, and there's almost none there, so I got stares all the time. And sometimes I was like, ah, are you kidding me? Because, you know, I'd forget that I look different until everybody stares at me. And, yeah, so sometimes I didn't like it, but I learned on my mission how proud I am to be an American and how proud I am to be who I am.
That's a great thing to learn. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. So you arrived, you had a cultural shock experience, and then you actually were assigned a companion and began going out and doing the work. Tell me how the work was different in Taiwan compared to Minnesota.
It was immensely different. It was so different. And I struggled with that. I struggled a lot. Because Minnesota was strictly a COVID mission. It was all online. It was all calling. We couldn't tract and we couldn't street contact. Let's
stop right there for a minute, because that had to be frustrating for you. Tell me about your feelings. You know, here you are all excited to go on a mission, and then you go to a mission where you're stuck, pretty much. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about that?
It was a little bit frustrating at the beginning because I had that excitement. I was so ready to get out there and just work and give it my all. And I was like, what? Now I'm just clicking buttons. This doesn't feel like doing the Lord's work. Like, it feels so anticlimactic. But I like prayed a lot and studied a lot and really learned for myself that mission leaders are directed for the areas that they lead. They know what those people need. And they know that they're receiving inspiration on the best way to lead the mission. So I learned that, and it was still frustrating. And I honestly don't know how I would have been if I had been there the whole time, had to deal with that the whole time. Mm-hmm. But we found ways to make it enjoyable, and it was still fulfilling. Like, I didn't think, at the beginning, I didn't really think it would be, because it seems like Facebook work is something that might be kind of hard to feel the spirit in, you mm-hmm. know, but it still is fulfilling because it's the purpose behind it. It's what we're doing it for, that we're building God's kingdom.
That's a great answer. Thank you. Okay. Now back to the work. It was immensely different. How?
Okay. So yeah, Minnesota was all kind of locked down, mostly Facebook finding and calling people, and Taiwan was not. There were lots of differences with the rules. My Minnesota mission was really strict. And I think that kind of structure, I lost a little bit of when I went to Taiwan. And so I kind of found myself confused. And it was frustrating because of culture differences too. A lot of Taiwanese people, they really, one thing that I've learned to love is that they really treasure getting to know other people. That's really important to them. And while that's important in America, you know, a lot of people are like, well, why are you calling me? Get to the point, you know? Mm-hmm. So when we would teach someone, we would usually just go right into the restoration because they're already Christian. You want to, like, the gospel of Jesus Christ will help them the most, you know? So when I went to Taiwan, I remember I would ask my companion, okay, what are we going to teach this person? She would say, we're going to get to know them. And I was like, what? We're going to get to know them. Like, we're wasting their time and our time. And like the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to help them more than anything else, you know? And while that's true, in Taiwanese culture, they really won't listen to the message you have to share unless they know that you care about them. Mm. So that was something that I really had to humble myself and recognize that these ways are different. Sometimes, even though it feels like I'm wasting time, it's the Lord's work. What's important is the purpose and the intent behind what we're doing. We're building his kingdom. Mm-hmm.
That's great. So it sounds like something you learned out there was learning how to connect mm-hmm. with people. So what are the ways that you used to connect with people? What exactly did you do to get to know
them? That's a good question. A lot of it is just time spent with people. Really, I already valued time spent with people, but I think especially being in a place like Taiwan, where I didn't really speak the language and where I sometimes would even have a hard time remembering people's names. But I remember the experiences spent with them. So I think that became really important to me are those times that I remember the things that we did, the times that we spent, even though I don't remember everything that they said because at the time I didn't speak the language very well.
So you probably didn't understand what they said.
I probably didn't. Yeah. I was kind of like a little puppy dog. But I remember those times with them. And I remember the things that they did. Mm. So
let's talk about those experiences then. So on a mission, you know, I've heard it described and I've experienced it myself that there's so many high highs and so many low lows. And those experiences really influence a person who goes on a mission. Mm-hmm. So I want you to be very real with this, if it's okay, because sometimes we hear like just the high highs. Mm-hmm. We forget about the difficult times. I would like to hear about first a very difficult time on your mission, a low low. And then maybe let's hear about the experience of a high high. Tell us about those. Tell us a story.
That's a great question because it's true. I feel a mission is almost like a life that's just compacted, really small. So every emotion is amplified that you have. And those experiences really do affect you a lot. So I guess every high high I had was just something simple, usually just little things that brought me so much joy. Even just little things like standing on my bike. I would rarely sit on my bike. I love biking. Or I remember my first companion in Taiwan, she would always yell things to me in a happy voice and I could never actually hear what she said because we were biking. But that always just gave me so much joy. Having the opportunity to sing to people, just small things, small miracles.
What did you sing to people?
I sang lots of things. I sang hymns. I sang happy birthday.
like in English or Chinese?
Both. Usually Chinese.
Let's hear a song in Chinese.
Ask Sisters in Zion, was it?
Where did you sing that? Like,
we sang it in our Christmas concerts.
Oh,
yeah,
that's cool. That's neat.
Yeah.
So you talked about your highs, some of those highs that you would have, and it sounds like they were pretty simple highs that you had. Tell me about your lows.
I mean, to clarify, I also had other great highs, like setting people on date and like having miracles too. Those, you would also feel a lot of joy. Just so many miracles on a mission. And then some of the lows, I feel like a lot of it is just my own personal battles with myself. I'm an overthinker. And that's something that I struggled with on my mission, is that I would always overthink and be like maybe not sure if I was totally committed to something. I wouldn't be sure if I had enough faith. I was like, how do I know if I have enough faith if that can't be measured? How do I know if I'm fully committed if that can't be measured? Things like that. And really those things didn't, overthinking didn't give me any joy. Mm-hmm. It didn't change anything. So especially times when I struggled on my mission, like times when I first came to Taiwan, I struggled with the language and a lot of it just with the mission culture differences and having to relearn how to use a different style to teach people. That was a pretty low for me. Mm-hmm. That.
Let me back up here a little bit on this question, because what I'm looking for is any specific events or things that happened to you that caused you to have a low or a high. Did you have anything like that?
Yeah, I did. Like in the aspect of teaching people, for example, a high was when me and my companion were able to set our friend Ashang on date. And I know I've told you that story before about him, that he struggled with making commitments and teaching him was kind of a challenge, but what to see his demeanor change in that lesson and be willing to accept a baptismal invitation, that gave me so much joy and so much hope for him. That was a high. And then on the flip side, another lesson with the same companion, we taught someone and we had been told in advance that she did not want to get baptized. So we're like, well, this might be a drop lesson. Let's see how it goes. And we met with her and it was true. She just wasn't willing to progress at all. She just straight up told us she didn't want to be a better person. She didn't want to go to the celestial kingdom. She just didn't want to change.
What was her purpose in meeting with you then?
That's a good question. I don't know why she wanted to meet with us. I think it was just for friendship reasons, maybe. Mm. But, and I remember that lesson was super difficult, and especially for my companion, that was her first drop lesson. She was my trainee. And afterwards during the lesson, she just started crying and was like, why isn't she willing to accept this? And I think that was the first time she saw someone have something that could help them so close and reject it. Mm-hmm. And that really hurt her. And it hurt me too. So that was a low, just seeing someone. So, because normally people reject the message, but she knew. It was in front of her and she knew.
Hmm. Thanks for sharing that with us. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the Christmas concerts. Mm-hmm. Tell me about those.
The Christmas concerts, I love them. Now, my mission president is really musical, which I love. And I remember when I first got to Taiwan, one of the first things he told us, he was like, you need to tell us your musical abilities because this year we're going to have a Christmas concert. Last year we had one, we had 5 concerts. And the rules are the Christmas concerts are for the stakes, but members can only come if they bring a referral. And which I think is genius because they've got at least like 100 referrals at every concert. Because so at the end of these concerts, they had about 500 referrals.
Oh my goodness.
And so he said it's something that took a lot of work, but it really, really paid off because these people, they have an opportunity to feel the spirit and see what missionaries do. So he told us we're going to be doing these this year. We're going to be doubling the amount of concerts. So I think we did about 9 or so. Mm-hmm. And I told my president several times, I was like, I love to sing and perform and I remember in an interview, I think I mentioned that you write and arrange music as well. And he was like, oh, well, perfect. Sister Jensen, do you think that you could help be a part of like planning and preparing the Christmas concerts? And I was like, yeah, sure. And at the time, I already knew I was going to be in it. He had told me I was going to be in it. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's a lot of faith for you. You've never heard me sing. But so I think that was a big part of the reason I moved to Jinhua, which is right by the mission office, was so that I could be there and be like one of the people in charge of the Christmas concerts. Mm-hmm. So me and one other elder, we were the ones planning the music and kind of divvying up who was part of it, who was doing which song. And it was a lot of fun. Especially at the time, I think it was a relief for me. I think it was a blessing because at the time, I still didn't know a lot of what was going on missionary-wise, mm-hmm, because of the language. And when we got to the Christmas concert, it was just a feeling of relief that this is something I know how to do. something I can like feel useful in. So I loved being a part of it. So we were able to go around and perform to every stake, about every stake in our mission, and like go up to Hualien and stay a few days. And it was just a blast.
That's neat. That's great. People say like you were called to your mission for a reason, and you were actually went to two missions.
Mm-hmm.
So did you feel like there was a reason for you to be in Minnesota and there was a reason for you to be in Taiwan? And if so, did you find that reason?
Great question. I think the reasons for Minnesota are maybe less evident. I feel like a lot of it was for me. A lot of it was so that I could learn the things I needed to for my mission president and his wife. They're amazing. I adore them. And for my companions there as well. And to have those experiences with the people we taught. I don't know if it was they specifically needed me. Actually, I did meet a few Chinese people there. Hmm. One of them came to church when I spoke. And so I was able to share my testimony in Chinese, and she later told me she wanted to start learning.
Oh my goodness.
And then I went to Taiwan. So, but I think that might have been something that she needed, the little push that she needed.
Oh, that's deep.
So that was a cool way to show how I was needed there. And then in Taiwan, a lot of it is, I think, because the Christmas concerts and the experiences that I had, the companions I had that I think I needed to have specifically. Those experiences shaped who I am and helped me decide who I want to be.
Who is that? Who do you want to be?
A disciple of Jesus Christ.
No, don't give me the answer. It's just like, you know, the rote answer.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you want to be? What has your mission taught you?
I want to be someone who is always dependable and stable and just who's always there. I think there are people in my life and people in my mission who, no matter what happened, they're always there. And especially the Savior Jesus Christ, that no matter what happens, he's always there. He doesn't change. And so I think that taught me that I want to be that person for other people. That I want to be kind of that stable, act as a rock a little bit. That even if everything else is changing in their life, they can trust that I've always got them, I guess.
Thank you, Janelle, for sharing that. One of the things I love about the missionaries is the special glow that they have about them and that they usually share their testimonies. Would you be willing to share your testimony with us and our audience in that wonderful language that you just learned?
Okay. 我真的很感谢你邀请我分享我的见证，因为我觉得 我的传教之前我有一个见证，但是在我的传教的时候，我的见证真的变成更强，有更多力量，and比较 我一直会说 solid， 我真的知道耶稣基督是我们的救主。 他爱我们，他为每一个人赎罪跟牺牲，他做这个，所以每个人可以有一个机会变成更好的，变成接近。我们都有很多潜力，我们可以去在神的身边。透过耶稣基督，我们可以有成功，我们可以完成那个目标。我知道神的计划是完美的。 即使我们有很多挑战，我们可以信赖他的计划是完美的，他有一个方法可以让我们成长，可以让我们有成功。我知道摩尔门经是一个方法，我们可以归向基督，感觉他的力量，他的恩典。 我真的很感谢摩尔门经，我知道摩尔门经真的帮助我有很多平安跟安慰，在我的传教的时候，摩尔门经真的让我们知道我们可以怎么有快乐，那个快乐是透过耶稣基督，我知道那个，我知道。 这是耶稣基督的复兴的教会。And 真的在我的传教的时候，这个给我很多力量，因为 and 很我的对这个的见证变成更好的，因为我了解，我现在了解为什么我们需要一个复兴的福音。因为我们有一个复兴的福音，我们可以有每个资源我们需要来有成功，这是一个方法，我们一定可以跟随耶稣基督，因为我们有因为我们有圣职能力，我们可以做这些需要的圣约去在神的身边。所以我真的很感谢这个，因为我们有复兴的福音，我们知道关于耶稣基督的福音，我们知道关于摩尔摩经，我们有每个资源我们需要来去在神的面前。我真的知道这些事情，奉耶稣基督的名，阿们。
Thank you for sharing that testimony with us. One more question for you. You've given up 18 months of your life to serve this mission. How do you know it was accepted by the Lord?
That's a great question. I think that a lot of it comes throughout the process. That throughout my mission, I was so happy and it was so rewarding. Even when we didn't have success, it was rewarding. It's the most fulfilling work imaginable. And I think knowing that and feeling that throughout the process has helped me know that this sacrifice is, it's enough for God. That even though it was imperfect, it's enough for Him.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Is there anything that you feel like you'd like to share with our audience and even family members or future family members who might be listening to this podcast?
I would just advise them that you never know how good it's going to get. That's something that one of my MTC teachers told me. And it stuck with me for my whole mission. That when we're struggling and when we're facing difficult times, things are going to get better. They will, because this is God's perfect plan. And we can trust that He has a reason for all things that happen. And so I would advise them to remember that even though things might be tough, they will get better. And you will be so, so grateful for all that you have done if you have chosen to trust in the Lord.
That's a great thought to leave on. You never know how good it's going to get, and I think it's going to be pretty great. Well, thank you, Janelle, for joining us in the studio today. We appreciate your words and your experiences from your mission. They really are inspiring and help each of us learn to grow closer to our Heavenly Father. So thank you very much for sharing that.
Thank you for having me.
And we want to thank our audience for joining us today. You never know how good it's going to get. And my guess is you'll be on your way to a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Story Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode. The Family Story Podcast is a production of Harmony Audio Recordings. This podcast is strictly prohibited for use without permission. For more information about Family Story Podcast or to create your own Family Story Podcast, contact us at familystorypodcast.com. We hope you join us again soon and encourage you to go create a family memory today.